Good evening, everyone. This is James Sagerton, Chair of the National Finance Committee. This is the November 29th, 2022 meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee. That's Fred Blair, our esteemed streamer. We have our secretary, R. Paul Martin, our executive director, Stephanie Wells, and we believe we have quorum, so I'm going to ask R. Paul to take the roll call, please.
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Grace Aaron?
Here.
Chris Corey? Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Here.
Kamau Harris?
Here.
Julie Hewitt?
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. James McFadden? Dawn Kelly McPherson?
I am here.
James Sagerton?
Here.
Susan Young?
Here.
Okay, that's eight. You have a quorum.
Thank you, R. Paul. So, that takes us to adopting the agenda. I'm going to read the agenda, and then we can discuss. So it's number one, convene meeting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Two, roll call. Three, adopt agenda. Four, chair's announcements for 2 minutes. 5 minutes for 3 minutes. Six, report from the executive director with Q&A for 30 minutes. Number seven is national office budget review for 30 minutes. Number eight is adjourned to executive session if needed. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, is there any objection?
Maybe we need to make minutes a couple of minutes longer.
Very good. I have no objection to that. So let's make that 5 minutes before we approve it so we don't have to amend it.
Yeah.
Okay, so that'll be 5 minutes. Is there any objection? Let me first ask, is there any objection to extending the minutes to 5 minutes? Hearing none, is there any objection to the agenda as a whole? Hearing none, we can move ahead. Good. Chair's announcements. These are not really new announcements. I did change one word. Tonight we will hear a report from the executive director and review and discuss the continuing cash flow and payroll situation. Change that rule from crisis, that word from crisis to situation. A little less hair on fire is appropriate, I think. We will also review the Pacifica National Office budget, which was postponed several times, most recently from our last meeting to tonight. And actually, that last announcement is inappropriate. We could take that last one out, R. Paul. Those items are no longer on the agenda. We will also discuss how funds. Yeah.
Starts out. We will also discuss how funds take that out.
Yes. Yes. Up until such action is approved, that whole sentence can come out.
Okay.
Okie doke. So those are the announcements. Now we'll go to the minutes, R. Paul.
Okay. Right. Before we get into the actual minutes, I got to point out that on August 30th, I couldn't be at the meeting, and nobody apparently was appointed or elected or whatever, Secretary Pro Tem. So we still need for somebody who was at the August 30th meeting to write up some sort of minutes. I mean, I wasn't there, so I'm not going to be able to, do it. I wasn't there. So somebody on the committee who was there is going to need to do that. All right. I wanted to point that out. I've pointed it out before. I'm pointing it out again. I will now make a motion that we approve the minutes of the October 25th, 2022 NFC meeting.
Okay, thank you, R. Paul. Is there any discussion?
This is McFadden. I just joined.
Hi.
But
thanks for
I'm
telling
not sure
us.
What the discuss. I'm not sure what the discussion is.
October 25th minutes that R. Paul put out.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. Any further discussion on the minutes themselves? Any objection to approving the minutes? Hearing none, we'll consider that approved, pending amendment at any time in the future if anyone feels the need. Okay. That was it, right, R. Paul?
Yeah, although people need to think, who wants to do the August 30th minutes? I mean, we don't have to decide now or anything, but
correct?
Maybe next meeting somebody will say they'll do it, okay?
Correct. That was August 30th, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Okay. That takes us to the report from the executive director, Stephanie. The time on this item is 30 minutes. As you know, we can take more or less as needed. Are you ready, Stephanie?
Yes, no problem.
Very good. Thank you.
I don't have an awful lot to report since we just met last week, and there haven't really been a lot of things that as far as changes. Our biggest concern last week was making sure that we were going to make payroll. Last week when we met, we were running short, but we were able to get everything that we needed in time, and WBAI was able to reach the shortfall that was there, and they sent everything in just in the nick of time. So everybody on the staff will be getting paid on the 30th. And then once we kind of go through that and all the, you know, the necessary payroll fees and all that are taken out of our accounts, then we start focusing on the following one. But there were some of the stations that did have revenue that was in excess of the necessary payroll. So we're kind of holding back on that a little bit. Even the national office has about $7,000 in their account. So we're, again, starting that next two-week phase where we're setting where the national office is trying to set some money aside just to cover any sort of possible shortfall that may happen with KPFK and their power bills, even though the interim general manager has a very good grasp on that. And that's one of the focuses in particular with today being Giving Tuesday, with a lot of the emails that he was sending out was with specific asks for specific needs. But we are, again, trying to set aside some money and trying to save some things up in case there are some shortfalls that are moving forward. The affiliates are doing the same thing. They're setting aside some money that it's just specifically for any sort of payroll shortfall that we might incur. And we also are trying to set aside some money on a national level to make sure that that FJC interest loan payment that is coming on the 30th of December, that we have enough revenue to be able to cover that. But other than that, I'm still waiting for a broker valuation report, the second broker, commercial broker company that came to look at KPFK property. They came right before the Thanksgiving holidays. And so I'm hoping to try to get their valuation report before this Thursday's national board meeting. Other than that, I don't think I have anything that really has changed since last week, but
okay.
I'm sure questions will prompt me to remember something that I need to cover. So does anybody have any questions, they can feel free to throw them my way.
Got it. Any questions?
Back to the stack.
Come out of the stack.
Go ahead, Beth. Now let me take a stack. Got Beth, come out. Anyone else? Go ahead, Beth.
Yeah, I'd like to start with a status report on resolving the problems with Great Plains and whether we've gained any ground in trying to get to the point where we can actually get financial reports again.
We are still in the process of working on that. Again, last week when we had talked about, and John, Amelia was working on that along with some outside sources. It was right before the Thanksgiving holiday, so we really weren't able to make any progress with that. Even yesterday, there weren't any responses from the people that we had reached out to as far as the email with that. But it's still, we're still working forward and getting somebody to help us with that.
Anything else, Beth?
You can take the next person. I'll wait. Thanks.
Okay. Kamau?
Yes. Quick question. When we say that there are some stations that have excess revenue, does that imply that those stations would be current with their payables? How do we determine excess revenue at a station?
Well, excess revenue only to the extent that they, some of the stations have some central service fees that need to be paid, that they have the money that they have set aside to pay that. But rather than what we're doing is, granted, we need the central service payments, but I'm trying to map out the best use of those central service payments. So I'm always kind of on edge for fear that there may be some sort of outstanding bill that we may have or a vendor that may decide, let's go ahead and, you know, garnish a bank account. And so we're sort of keeping track of what those central service payments are and revenue that these stations have set aside and then pulling on that almost like it's a drop down, you know, an account that we can pull from when we run into on a national level a shortfall, or these stations are also willing to provide this funding in case there is a payroll shortfall or one of the stations have an emergency bill. Of course, a lot of the bills that need to be paid, you know, those are the priorities at the station, at the station levels. But, you know, for example, we're holding some money that is in our payroll account on the national level. There's roughly about $10,000 that's in there. And then in the national bank account, there's $7,000. And then there's central service fees that have been set aside at KPFA and also with the affiliates.
Okay, so it's essentially you're not looking to or asking the stations to transfer the funds just yet. Is that just a strategy to keep the national office bank account at a particular level, or I don't know?
Correct.
Excess revenue.
The thing is, I probably shouldn't have used the term excess revenue, but it's money that is being set it's on the book, obviously, but it's the central service payments that are being right now just sort of set aside so we can better manage where to direct those central service payments. You know, I know that we have vendors that need to be paid, but as I said, if we're running short on, you know, an emergency air conditioning unit that needs to be fixed, or a station is, you know, in need to cover some sort of payroll expense, or there's a shortfall with an electric bill or rent or something like that, and we have this emergency where we have to have the funds, I would rather be able to pull those funds from the central services balance that is mm-hmm. available. Granted, it's low, but it's available mm-hmm. at some of these stations, rather than all of a sudden having it in the bank account and then, you know, everything is drained because of some IRS issue that we were unaware of, or a legal bill that needs to be paid, or, you know, something like that.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? I'm going to ask just for clarity, Stephanie, what you were saying about the Great Plains situation was basically it was the Thanksgiving holiday and nothing was really able to be done because, you know, people were having a holiday. Is that basically what was happening?
Correct.
Especially
we're bringing
these outside contractors.
Yes, we're bringing in an outside person that has helped us in the past with some of these things, and even just reaching out to Netta as well to have them help us with some of these questions. There wasn't, you know, a lot of offices were closed on Wednesday or closed early on Wednesday. So they're really, you know, it is only Tuesday right now. So, yeah. So not much.
And there's not that much our staff.
We've done everything.
Sorry,
yeah, they've done everything that they can on their side.
Exactly. Got it. Thank you for that.
Back to the staff.
Anyone else? Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, I'd like to request an update on the situation with signatory authorities. What progress has been made since the last time we discussed it a week ago? Thank you.
Signatory authorities with the banks of other stations?
The
signatory authorities with everything with Bank of America has been cleared. I've requested the contact people for the banks at all the other stations. So we'll just go through the process of getting the paperwork from Chase, Wells Fargo, the other stations where their banks are. As far as the Charles Schwab account, I'm still working with Julie on that.
Has there been any progress since last week?
With the bank accounts?
With
other stations or Schwab?
Signatory authorities.
The signatory authorities.
Last week I understood that one of the things restricting our access to the financial information we needed from each station was that the signatory authorities were outdated. I know that we've updated the Bank of America signatory authorities. I was part of that process. But that it was, I guess it was news to me that last week that we were right where we have been for months when it comes to the other two major banks we deal with and the Charles Schwab. And I know I had it on my, I filled this for months earlier in the year and kind of let up on it once we got through the B of A process because that was crucial because it has to do with payroll. But I had thought that the other things were being taken care of too. And so having heard last week that they haven't been, I want to be sure that that doesn't fall through the cracks again. I want to be sure that the act being made on a regular basis and we're making steady progress. So has there been any progress since last week?
There has not been any progress. I haven't dropped the ball on it. Just as if the same when you were, you know, as you said, you were part of the process with Bank of America and you will be part of that process with Chase and Wells Fargo. So it's working with the contacts that we have at those banks and getting those contacts from the business managers or general managers at each division and then making contact with those bank managers and then having the paperwork forwarded with the instructions. So I'm still reaching out to them. I've contacted two of the banks via email and phone, and I'm just waiting for them to call me back to forward the paperwork that's necessary so we can start that process.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm going to take a moment here and insert myself with a question which is somewhat related to that. And Stephanie, there was some surprise on the committee last time about the fact that the eyes only access to the bank accounts of all the different stations, which we thought we had, was, you know, a long, tedious, unnecessarily long process last year to get that from the stations. And I thought we had completed that with the exception of one station. But then we heard last week that we don't actually have that. And there was some question about whether or not that was because it was NETA, and this is what I suspect might be the case, that NETA had established their own eyes-only access to those accounts, but they hadn't established it in the name of an officer. You know, banks sometimes like to have the name of a person, not just an officer. So sometimes these things are particular to individuals, and they have to be changed as individuals change in positions. So is that the explanation there? Ned is no longer with us, so we need to refresh our eyes only access to the bank accounts for Markeisha and yourself and perhaps Julie or Beth as necessary. Is that the situation?
Well, as I think I said last week too, that was news to me as well, because when I was working with Julia and Netta, anytime that we needed to get account information with the stations that don't bank with Bank of America, we had to contact business managers or the general manager at those stations to get a balance. So only because Julia couldn't provide that information to me and she had to call or I had to call to get that information, makes me question, did they ever have, or maybe Julia didn't have access to eyes only on those accounts. So that's where we are now. Anytime we need a balance of some of those accounts, I need to make phone calls and ask them to call me back or text me or email me with the available balance.
And you're saying even if it was with Julia, Julia had to make the same phone calls. I think it was
yes.
We still had Anita as our CFO when we were told that the eyes only had been established for all of the accounts except one. So that's all. Still rather frustrating, and but hopefully we can deal with that. And since our last meeting, you had Wednesday before Thanksgiving and then the holiday weekend, so we probably don't have any further information about that, but hopefully by next time or soon we can find out if the banks will accept a position, like if it's executive director of Pacifica rather than a specific individual, that way we don't have to go through this every time we have a change. But again, I assume the answer is the same. You know, we haven't had an opportunity to really look into that because it's been the Thanksgiving weekend.
Right, and all I really need is just login information, but I don't want to be given the email or the password of those individuals that can log in. So I need to have the individuals that are the admins of those accounts add me to that account, which is exactly what I had to do to even give Markeisha access to the Bank of America accounts, is that the bank made me an admin for certain, you know, the ability to view and the ability to transfer funds. And then once I had those admin responsibilities, then I could add Markeisha also as a co-admin to be able to have those same duties. So whereas a bank, you know, somebody at one of the stations can say, oh, here's my email and here's my login. I don't want that. I want to be able to have the admin give me the permission to be able to go in and view only. So I have a phone call out to Julia so I can kind of get the history on, could they view it? Could they not view it? You know, when did that, how did that information start, or who had the ability to view, or when did it end? That kind of thing.
You know, we have this history of being very decentralized in our operations. Do you see any need or benefit that would come from having that more centralized? I'm hearing shivers going up people's spines at the idea that we should centralize it too much. I'm just curious if you have any thoughts on that.
More centralized meaning the finances?
Meaning that instead of just having eyes only, that you could get full access to all the bank accounts as the executive director of Pacific Foundation.
Oh, of course. I mean, I think that, yeah, I mean, I think just like the signing ability and the signatories that we moved over with Bank of America is that the executive directors, you know, should not, the executive director, I didn't want to have like signing power with Bank of America because it's actually against the law to be able to be the person that signs the checks if you're signing your own paycheck.
Right.
So that's why we added the chair and then, Beth is a co-chair to that and technically would have a treasurer added onto that as well. But our bylaws kind of prohibit us from having a treasurer as a co-signer or a signer on accounts, even though that's technically how it should be happening. But yeah, it would make it would make much more sense to be able to have the chair and the co-chair be the signers just for transparency's sake, and, you know, that checks over a certain dollar amount need approval and, you know, approval forms and check requests and that kind of thing. Then it just makes it a lot easier even in the auditing process, because all of the information is in one central place. The reconciliation of bank statements could be done by, you know, myself and also a business manager, and that wouldn't be put out on a burden of the general managers and their business managers, but it could be centralized and we could make sure that all of that is done in one place.
And just to follow up, I think the reason that it was eyes only, and specifically eyes only, was because it was for two CFOs in a row who were, well, the last one was a Pacifica employee, specifically with a paycheck, but they were actually also employees of the outside entity, which was NETA, which was not part of Pacifica. So we didn't want that ability to transfer money outside of Pacifica, but no real reason not to do that as long as we're doing it in-house, right?
Correct. And the key is, too, is that any time, like even though that I have the ability and Marticia has the ability to transfer funds between the bank accounts that are at Bank of America, I would never, nor would Marticia, go into KPFK's Bank of America account or the affiliate's Bank of America account and start transferring money or saying, well, you have excess funds, so we're going to use this to pay this or pay that. And historically, I believe that has been possibly done in the past, and that is also what has then encouraged some of the other divisions to say, you know what, no, we don't want anybody else to have access to our accounts. So I wouldn't, you know, even at that at the level, it's really just being able to, if we had everything in, you know, one central place that we could see that easy access, we would never start transferring money without discussing it with each individual station, their general manager, their finance committee, and their business manager, if they have one. Because, you know, as with anybody's even own personal finances, you set aside money in a certain account and you save that for, you know, a rainy day or a big purchase you're wanting to make. And then you have another account to hold something else. So, you know, I wouldn't want to, I know that a lot of the stations do that same thing. So I think it's just kind of a hesitancy on their part for the historical thought that the national office is going to go in and just start pulling things when they need it.
Right. Thank you for your thoughts on all of that. Is there any other question for Stephanie on anything that she said or anything else that is on anyone's mind? Not hearing any. Anything else you want to add, Stephanie?
I don't have anything else, no.
Okay. Okay. So why don't we go on to the next item on the agenda then, which is a review of the national office budget. We have 30 minutes scheduled for this item. Stephanie, that's you again.
Yes. So the budget, I haven't done anything to the budget since it was originally sent out a while ago. So there are still kind of pending questions, even that I had with the budget, as far as figuring out the revenue and the central services. So based upon a conversation with this group quite a few months prior to the budget, it was shared just to go ahead and figure it as, you know, the central service revenue as a 15% of the revenue that has been generated for the station. So what I did is I just pulled the revenue from the year-end financials of fiscal year 2022 and then took 15% of that just so there could be able to be some sort of projection of the possibility of central service revenue for 2023.
Right.
But I don't know. So the budget, I don't know if people have had a chance to take a look at it. It's been sent out to everybody couple of times. I know that was just sent out prior to this meeting, but I mean, we can, people, if they have questions, they can go ahead and ask. But what I have basically is, again, projected, and it's up for changes and discussion, is a total revenue of $425,500 plus a central service revenue based upon the 15% of the revenue generated as a guesstimation from fiscal year 23, which was $1,620,311. So the central services, I'm sorry, was $1,194,811, and then added that to the generated revenue of $425,500, made the total projected revenue of $1,623,311. And then the expenses, I pretty much took them the same across the board. I added a little bit in the salaries, not knowing if we were going to have the ability or hope to be able to have the ability to add, you know, any sort of development director position or a marketing manager position. So I just increased that by 30,000. And then, of course, accordingly, increase whatever that percentage was from the 377 to the 400, then I took that percentage and added it to the payroll taxes and the FICA and the SUI, and then kept everything else pretty much across the board with some slight increases. It was just based upon the actuals that were ending as of 8/31. National board meeting and travel. To my knowledge, there is no, in the board expenses, there is no travel that happens, but I'm assuming that these board meeting expenses are to do with the national office parliamentarian and secretary. And then the local board elections, of course, I didn't base that off of last year because there wasn't an election, although there was an expense of $11,000. But I would hope and assume that we wouldn't have the same expense as the year prior, which was $132,000. And then the year before that was roughly $66,000. So I set it at a $75,000, hoping that that would be something that we would be able to actually try to fall into and not have it do, not have it any more than that. So the total board expenses are projected at $95,000. The admin, there isn't really a lot of office expenses. I mean, I put them in there. There are a few telephone expenses. I'm assuming that's with some of the telephones or the cell phones that I believe John may have or Otis may have. We're still trying to figure out who has what, but I think that the 4,200 is awfully high, and I'm trying to get a breakdown of what the 4,060 was on that. Postage, again, that's very minimal. Just with the, excuse me, the consultants and the temporary employees or the contracted employees, I just based that off of not historically, but off of what was spent, the actuals from last year, which were 29,000. Legal fees, always sort of a guesstimation, but I put that at 300,000. Our actuals last year were 252. Audit fees pretty much stay the same. Payroll charges also pretty much stay the same. Insurance, pretty much the same. I just upped it to 200. I just rounded up on a larger scale from 195 to 200,000. Interest in bank charges, also the actuals for that were 198. So I upped that to 200,000, again, as a projection, just trying to get those, some of those even numbers. And then everything pretty much is just kind of self-explanatory as we go down. I don't really, I'm not too sure what the office rent expenses are. I don't know if, but that's 2,400. So I'm not too sure what that is. That might be, I'm really not too sure what that is. So I have to kind of look back to see what the 2,395 was. Storage rental, hopefully, excuse me, we can get rid of that storage. That's a storage facility that we have up in Berkeley. And that gives our total administrative expenses to 993,600. We have then
McFadden to the stack. Just
kind of go ahead and ask questions. I mean, I'm just kind of reading down here. So by all means, you know, I'd rather have questions than me just sitting here and reading numbers.
Did you want to jump in now, James? If so, go ahead.
Sure. Thank you. Because I was just kind of go down, and when I look at these kind of budgets, I do what most people do. You're just looking across and seeing, you know, consistency between year in, year out. And one of the, there were like three things that caught my eye. One was the taxes and fees, which in prior years seemed to be kind of low. And then last year jumped to 126. And so you kind of took that last number and rounded it off. Why? I just was curious why that taxes and fees were higher. I'll stop there, and then I'll do the next question after you answer that one.
Yeah, that actually on the spreadsheet that I work off of, I have that highlighted, that number in red, because I'm trying to break that down as well. There were the budget from, and I've gone over this too with Netta, even prior to Netta leaving, is that some of the line items that are in this spreadsheet aren't really valid anymore, and some of those actually need to be changed. So I'm trying to determine what was put into taxes and fees. Sometimes the fees that were put in really shouldn't have been fees. Those might have been a bank interest charge. That might have been an a fee that was actually a legal fee. So we're just trying to get that broken down as to, because that's just too significant of a jump, even from 5,000 to 27,000 in those two fiscal years. So I have that highlighted as well, you know, as I said, as a red that I still have questions about. But until I figure out what that is, I just rounded it up to the 130 with the hope and anticipation that can be dropped down again to anywhere between 5 and 7.
Okay, so you're checking that out. Okay.
Yeah.
Then the next question was the election expenses for last year's, you know, basically zero, but for 2021 we're 132 and we're only doing 77, and I don't. Those seem like they may be worth checking, because I assume if we do doing the election this year, it's going to be something like it was in 2021. There wasn't an election in 2020, except maybe for a bylaws election. So I think, and maybe that's what it is. Maybe there was a bylaws and a thing in 2021. I'm just trying to remember. Is that what is going on? Is sort of 70,000 sort of the typical? And then if you have, you know, a bylaws and a LSB election, and it's double that, or what's going on there?
Anybody that has historical information about how the elections work and what the basic costs are, a lot of those excess costs that I've been told for that one year was because there were some election difficulties and there was recounts and legal fees that were kind of put into that. And that, too, is one of those things that should those expenses have been put into the local board and LSB election expense item, or should that have been put into the legal expense line item? So historically, again, that's a number that if the 75,000 does not make sense to people and it needs to be closer to a 120, you know, let me know. And that's why we're here to make these changes.
Yeah, I think some of it's a little screwy, too, because you don't really know, I think, because if there's going to be a bylaws, you know, somebody's gathered a bunch of signatures, then you got to do, you know, the expense for that, can increase the cost. You know, maybe some of the people have been around longer and I have no
right.
You know, can say something to that. Let me ask one other. Go ahead.
Sorry, just Mr. Chair, Susan.
Go ahead, Susan.
Add a quick comment on that issue. I believe that the Elections Committee has had as a priority trying to figure out better ways to streamline and reduce the expenses for really needed and what is not. And so I that number may be aspirational.
Okay. But you're looking into it, so that's you know, it's not quite clear what it is, and I'm glad you're on top of that. Then the last question I had was just about was line 10, grant income. We have a 25,000 grant. Is there a grant in process that we think will appear next year, or is that aspirational?
That is aspirational. Some of the foundations, though, that I reached out to this past year, I know one of them said come back again next year, and I had asked for $75,000. So it's actually a low projection and aspirational for sure. But that's just one of the foundations.
Okay, thank you.
Back to the staff.
Thank you, James. Go ahead. Let me see if anybody else wants to be on the stack. Beth, who else?
Art Paul.
Come out of the stack.
Art Paul. Mao. Anyone else? Let's start with that then. Go ahead, Beth.
I'd like to ask about the line item regarding the office rent. And you've already explained that numbers that are there are, my words, but somewhat mysterious to you. You're not sure where they came from or what they refer to. I'm wondering, is this rent that, so a couple of questions. Is this rent that right now the national office pays to KPFK for use of that space in the KPFK building? And along with that, if the building is sold, then that will change. Circumstances will change, and the line item budget would need to change for that too. And so, what would you anticipate the cost of office space in LA running the national office next?
If it is money, that's what I was questioning too, because it isn't money that's being given to KPFK that I am aware of. I haven't seen any, you know, $2,395 get transferred over to KPFK. So is that then, you know, money that's been, again, which shouldn't be done either, is that money that's just being deducted from owed central services, which we really can't continue to do that because it's not real funds that are transferring. But I don't really see any right now. Everybody that works out of the national office is all across the country. There isn't a need for a national office space.
I this is Beth again. I would question that premise, but we'll leave it at that for the moment.
Okay, Beth, are you done?
Yeah, for the moment, yeah.
Our Paul? Thank you, Beth.
Okay. Did I hear correctly? Are you saying that the central services to each station, that you just made it 15% period?
Yes, and that was based upon discussions that we've had at this committee where it's been discussed, is it a, you know, how were the central services determined? So even prior to the budget being made, those were questions that I was asking this group as to how do we determine what that is. And so for ease of creating this budget, it was determined, I don't know what meeting off the top of my head, but to just do 15% across the board.
Okay, so by the way, there's only the one tab on this, right?
Correct.
So, all right, so I'm looking here and it looks like the scrolling up 2021 and all the actuals for that, for the prior years, are all exactly the same, but it's 15% of revenue, and hasn't that changed somewhat? I mean, I'm seeing everything uniform in lines 86 to 90, and wouldn't my impression is that everything changes at least a bit, but these are all exactly the same numbers.
And the expenses from 86 to 90, that was a chart. That has really nothing. That has nothing to do. Those were my own notes that were pulled off of. I should have actually, when I sent them to you, just did a print screen that didn't include those. Somebody asked about these when we first looked at the budget a little while ago. I mean, I think two or three meetings ago. This is how central services were recorded based upon the budget forms that were given to NEDA quite a few years ago. And they aren't recorded as revenue, and they aren't recorded as expenses. And it doesn't make any sense to me, and it never made any sense actually to Julia. And she had been trying to determine a better way to record central services as a revenue item while tying it in to the budget for each individual station. So this chart was pulled from past budgets and from the consolidated financials that everybody, you know, that everybody would get. This is the same few lines that were pulled and listed on the consolidated financials month after month after month. And it does not, from an accounting standpoint, it doesn't make any sense. There's no tie-in to where this is coming from. Is this money that is, you know, it's obviously in parentheses, so it's got a negative. So is this being pulled from what revenue list? So that chart down there never even made any sense to Julia. But when she and I were looking at this budget back in probably, I would say, like June or July, we had this down here just for our own reference, but not really ever understanding how that was recorded.
Okay, so we should ignore lines 86 through 90, but then we look at lines, 14 through 19, and so those are, I just have numbers. I don't have formulas. So
yeah, 14 through 19, that is where in my world, if I was, you know, creating a budget form, the central service payments would be considered revenue, and those numbers would be put into the revenue line item, and that would be put into the revenue section. There is no formula here except to the extent, which is why there's no revenue that's listed in fiscal year 20 actual, fiscal year 21 actual, and fiscal year 22 actual, because the recording of central services has not been consistent based upon the forms and the budget templates that have been used historically. It doesn't capture payments of central services as revenue. And that's where that funky chart is down below, where it's not capturing that as revenue. So what I did for my own reference, since I don't have any historical knowledge of what was actually paid in 2021 and 22, I did get listings from 2022 from Julia, is that I pulled the end of fiscal year revenue per station, which is what's listed in that, all those station numbers, and then took 15% of that. And that 15%, if we were following a 15% of revenue central service fees, that total amount based upon that revenue from fiscal year 22 would be what is listed in projected for 23. Would it be that exact dollar amount? Probably not, because central services would be paid on a monthly basis. And based upon the projected revenue from each of the budgets that have been approved and created by each station, from that revenue, then I would be able to project monthly 15% of what would be coming into central services. But those numbers right now, since we don't have the budgets for all the stations, it cannot be adequately projected because I don't have their projections.
Yeah, I was going to point out that I don't think all the stations are going to Well, okay. All the stations are also not going to be able to pay that. We have seen historically and very recently that there's a shortfall between what the stations are supposed to be paying and what actually gets paid. So it looks – so you've got almost $1.2 million here that is there's going to be less than that. So, I mean, so we're figuring in
services.
Revenue for the
exactly.
National office that we can kind of predict isn't all going to show up, maybe substantially so.
Correct. And that's where the problem lies with stations' inability to pay central services or just listing it as, oh, this is revenue, but it's not ever revenue that actually exists because the stations aren't able to pay their central services.
Right. Okay. So we all understand that line 20 is interesting. Maybe that's aspirational, too.
McFadden at this time.
Just one moment, James. We have a couple of other people. First, Kamau.
Okay, thanks, James.
You were dying off, correct? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. So going back to the taxes and fees line item. So once you review the detail from the prior year, the $126,000, so you anticipate maybe that some of that needs to be reclassed. So then we should see potentially that line item reduced, but then other line items may increase. Is that your thought on what you want to do with that
$126,000? Yes.
Okay. And then on the thought about going back to Great Plains and thinking about what we've been discussing and some of the difficulties around that, should we be building into this budget? And maybe that's what the $28,000 is on computer supplies and maintenance, something around either exploring new software or building in a kitty to kind of anticipate some of the repairs and potentially having to bring Great Plains up to snuff. Is that something that was thought about in this particular budget?
Yes, very much so. Yeah, there's expenses with that. There's expenses with, you know, Allegiance, and that's really not, you know, that's what, again, I think the computer supplies and maintenance is fairly small. So that is definitely something, and I don't know if any of those expenses were put under the consultant temps and contractuals rather than putting it under what it was used for, if it was just put under that it was a person that was paid.
So, I guess I was kind of wondering if we would call that out, you know, in a particular way that, you know, hey, we're going to, you know, budget X amount of dollars in anticipation of having to deal with the improvements around Great Plains. But my last thought is that I think you already said this, so I apologize if I'm repeating myself. The central services will change once budgets from the stations show up because we're taking 15% of current year revenue or current year budgeted revenue, not prior year actual revenue, right?
Stephanie, are you with us?
Oh, I'm sorry. It was muted. The central services figure that I have is based upon fiscal year 22 actuals. So that was the revenue that was generated because that was all I had to choose from to be able to guesstimate that 15%. I believe the only budget that has been approved so far is KPFT, where then I could look at their monthly projections of revenue, and then if we follow a 15%, then I can look at their monthly projections, take out that, you know, look at the 15%, make sure that that is added to their expense line item, and then add that as revenue to this budget. But
right.
I don't know if the stations, when they're doing their budgets, if they have the formula as to what to be allocated as an expense for their central service payments for both the archives and the national office.
Got it. So, I mean, I guess I was just trying to touch on the rule. The rule typically is that we are using the current year budgeted revenue as the baseline for the 15% central service fee here, not prior year.
Correct.
Okay, got it.
But again, all of it kind of can go together, because even when we're looking at the station's budgets, they need to be able to know, again, how much is needed at the national office and how is that percentage determined? Is there a formula? Is it straight across the board 15%? And then again, mm-hmm. in working with them on their budgets, we can then add that into an expense into an expense line, which would then, as I said, complement the revenue line here. They all work hand in hand.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, because I kind of want to use this discussion here as a motivation for us in terms of our budgeting, because it is impacting the national office as well. With without us producing something that you can use in this particular budget, it slows us down, across the board. So that's also why I'm just trying to make sure that that's the actual formula, that budgeted number that you want to use to get to central services. So appreciate it.
Yeah, and I don't know if that 15% is what's supposed to be used. I was told to go ahead and use that, but, I was also told, I think, that there were discussions that were still underway as to whether there was a certain formula or whether it would just be 15% across the board. So I believe that that's up to the Finance Committee to sort of determine how central service payments to both the National Office and the Archives will be determined in fiscal year 23.
Got it. All right. Thank you.
Before you go, James, I meant to put myself on the stack, but I didn't. But I just want to interject a little something here, which is what I was going to say, which is we understand, Stephanie, that we came to the idea that you should use 15% for purposes of coming up with this budget, but that the NFC has not yet actually established a central services formula that it's going to recommend to the PMB. We didn't get there yet. And I know you understand that. I just want to make sure the public understands that and anybody else on this committee who is still wondering.
Didn't know that. Thank you, James.
Yeah, okay. That is your understanding as well, right, Stephanie?
Yes, it is.
This is a number you were using for convenience, the 15%, right?
Exactly. Otherwise, there was that, because I don't have budgets for each of the divisions that have been approved, and they have the difficulty as well determining their expenses because there isn't a central service formula determined yet.
Right. So that's what we're trying to accomplish by getting the national office budget done, and we'll go to that. Okay. McFadden.
Yeah, I was just going to make a comment. Not having a central services fee, because it hasn't been worked out, you have to start with something. And so 15% is a reasonable assumption. And if it turns out that the fee gets shifted around a bit, where some of the stations are 18% and maybe some are 13% for whatever reasons, because of internal things, It's still going to, what I think will be done is those formulas will be adjusted to try to give sort of something very similar to this total number anyway. That's just the way it's going to work out. So I think that's a, this for this kind of a budget where we just don't know, I think that's the way to go. And I wanted to just respond to what our Paul said was, you know, about we don't know if some of these stations are going to pay this. That's exactly correct. We don't know. But if they do pay, if everybody does pay their central services, then we have a functioning working budget, you know, at the national level. And if they don't, that's the part of the reason that we're in, that we're put in this position where they're, we're looking to sell a building in Los Angeles, because that may just have to be the way to, while we're regrouping and getting, and the various stations are getting themselves back on a sound budgetary footing, that we're going to just need to do that, because we there's not much, it seems like, in this budget that's extravagant. I don't see anything in this budget that's extravagant at this point. I just wanted to say that.